So, and Lord, just bless him mightily as only you can. And Lord, we give you honor and glory and praise for it all. In Jesus' name, amen.
Is it on? Check, check, test, test. Money order. Cash. Y'all are looking mighty looking. No, y'all looking good. Most of you. Are you ready to worship this morning? In the Word. Turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, stand for the reading of the Word. Matthew chapter 5. God is awesome! I can't wait till tonight. I can't wait to see what's going to happen to these young folks. I know they're going to do great. I have no doubt in my mind they're going to do awesome. Looking forward to it. God is always, always so good. And he's so good with our young people. And I'm looking forward to something very, very special happening tonight. Matthew chapter 5. You got your Bible? Say amen. You don't say on me. Oh, cool. All right. Matthew chapter 5. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came to him, and when he opened his mouth, he taught them, saying, blessed. Somebody say happy. Happy, happy, happy. Somebody say happy again. Happy are the poor in spirit. Wow, that's something. Happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's where we stopped at. That's our latest one. Today, this is where we're going to go. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Somebody here go, mercy. Can somebody else go, mercy? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. I thank you for this day. I thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. I ask you, God, to touch, to anoint, Father, in a very powerful way, Lord. We thank you, God, for your word. We thank you, God, that it's always on time and it's always there. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. Go ahead, bro. You can pop that thing in there. There was a gentleman in the hospital bed. Preacher come in there, was talking to one guy, saw this guy, and he saw him covered with bandages from head to toe, and he said to him, what do you do for a living? He said, I'm a former window washer. So he asked, when'd you give it up? He said, about halfway down. How many of them feel like you're halfway down? Amen. The Beatitudes have been actually hitting home. It's been doing, it's awesome. I'm not just preaching it to you. I'm living it myself, and I understand, and I see it. And sometimes they're not so easy. Look at somebody and say, sometimes they're not so easy to live. Amen. And then sometimes they're awesome to live. Amen. It just depends. But you got to understand that God's Spirit will be there to guide you as you are reaching forth to live a life that pleases him. Now today, yes, last week was probably the toughest one. It was the one that hinged. This week's going to be something a little bit different. Matter of fact, it's going to be a lot different from last week. Last week was hunger and thirst after righteousness. Remember, we talked about this. This is our key slide. Vitamins are beneficial. B vitamins have been used for years to improve your energy, your outlook, and your strength. Jesus gives us some B vitamins for our energy. How many like to have some spiritual energy right now? How many want some spiritual outlook? Looking good. Look at somebody and say, I want my outlook to be looking good. Somebody say that. All right. And strength. 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 I want you right now, I want you to just give a high five to somebody beside you and say, I hope you get everything that God intends for you to get out of this service. Tell somebody that. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, God, for this service. I thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to be able to worship you in spirit and in truth. And I ask you right now, Lord, to let this service resonate in our mind in the name of Jesus, in our hearts, in our spirits. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. Now, blessed means happy. Happy, happy, happy. You know, there's one guy that's a quadrillionaire because he said, happy, happy, happy. Who am I talking about? Duck. Yeah, duck. Amen. Happy, happy, happy. Well, God, he's not the only one that wants you to be happy, happy, happy. God wants you to be happy, happy, happy. Amen. God wants you to know what it's like to be happy. Not talking about happy because my ship came in. Sometimes you got to swim out to meet it. Not happy because opportunity knocked on my door. Sometimes I don't hear the knock and I have to open it anyway. God wants us to be happy, happy, happy. Amen? And so we've been talking about how to be happy, happy, happy. Well, today we're going to talk about something again. We're switching gears. We're going to talk about blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Somebody say mercy. I love it. Blessed or happy is the mercy. Now, mercy is the true beauty of the cross. Did you know that? You can be, look, you want to be like your Savior. One of the biggest ways to be like your Savior and to show yourself is to have mercy. True happiness comes from reflecting the beauty of the cross. Now, the Beatitudes fall into two categories. And the first four deal with our relationship with God. The poor in spirit, admitting that we have a need for Him. How many admit that? Those that mourn, we see our sin in the light of the cross, and we bring it to God. Then meek, we surrender our control to God's control. Right? Then the result of the first three steps are you hunger and thirst after a right relationship with God, and then He will fill you. Somebody say, He will. Now, the second set of categories, this next category we're talking about, is our relationship with others. Before you can work with others, you got to work with God. Before you can work with others, God has to work on you. God has to do a work in you, through you. God can't work through you if He hasn't worked in you. Amen? Look at somebody and tell them, God can't work through you till He works in you. Tell somebody. It's important. So here we go. Mercy. Did you know that mercy has an attitude? Listen, mercy has an attitude. Not only does mercy have an attitude, mercy has action. If you want to truly be like our Lord, if you truly want to show yourself, you want to reflect the beauty of the cross, it's going to take action and it's going to take attitude. Now the fifth step to happiness, again, is mercy. Now, mercy's redirecting. What I mean by redirecting is overriding your flesh. How many of you ever just wanted to bolo somebody? Come on, you'll be honest. We're all friends here. How many of somebody said, I want to pray, please pray for me, and you want to say, God, I pray that you just strike them down right now. Okay, we'll get away from that. How many ever said, Lord, will you forgive me? You're thinking, yeah, right. Yeah, what you did. But you know what? When you allow mercy in your life, it redirects your flesh. Attitude. Do you know a lot of times we could do a whole lot more for God and God could do a whole lot more for us if we would let Him redirect our attitude? We come on Johnny on the spot and we think we've got it all under control. We know all the deal. We've got it all figured out. But the thing is, many times we judge ourselves by our intentions and we judge others by their actions. And because of that, because we judge ourselves by intentions, we know if we really meant to hurt them or we know if we were actually trying to help them. But we judge other people by their actions, meaning they could be trying to help us, but it hurt us, and so we don't even give them any room to wiggle. Mercy gives wiggle room. Yeah, y'all say that for me. Mercy gives wiggle room. All right. Wiggle room. Now, mercy is redirecting or overriding the flesh. You know, this is an oldie but goldie, but it just fits so good here. There's this guy not too smart tried to sell his old car. He was having a lot of problems selling it because the car had 250,000 miles on it. One day he mentioned his problem to a friend he worked with, and a friend told him, there's a way to make your car sell easier, but it's not legal. And somebody starts telling you it may not be legal, you better back away. Amen. So, okay, said the friend, here's the address of a friend of mine. He owns a car repair shop. Tell him I sent you, and he will turn your odometer in your car back to 50,000 miles. From 250,000 miles to 50,000 miles. That shouldn't be a problem to sell then. The following weekend, the not-so-bright guy made the trip to the mechanic. A month later, the friend asked him, said, "Did you sell your car?" He said, no, why should I? It's only got 50,000 miles on it. Amen. So, mercy redirects your flesh. It keeps you from doing something that's going to put you in jail. Amen. But as it redirects your flesh, it reflects the power of the cross. That's the action. When Jesus had the right to call down legions of angels to deliver him from that cross, he said, "God, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Wow. He had the power. If anybody had the power, he had the power. But yet he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know what they're doing." He was showing mercy. Mercy can be on two levels. Now, that's mercy. Mercy, we're talking about mercy. I'm still trying to describe mercy. I'm still not got into the full description of mercy yet. But I want to tell you, mercy is on two levels. And every child of God should be on level two. If you're on level one today, before you leave, I want you to get in that altar and say, "God, help me get to level two." All right? Level one is receiving it. How many is born again? You've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's automatic level one. Level two is reflecting it to other people. And once you reflect it to other people, now this is awesome. We've got the mercy of God that actually when we're saved is mercy, because we talk about it. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Unmerited favor. Mercy is God withholding what you do deserve. We deserve hell. We deserve punishments. But God's mercy holds it back. The Bible says in Psalm 23, "Surely goodness or grace and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." That word "follow me" means chase me down. God's mercy and grace will chase you down all the days of your life. But this goes a little further than just withholding what you deserve. Let's look at another scripture here. "They are blessed who show mercy to others, for God will show mercy to them." So watch this now. Let's talk a little bit into this thing. Galatians 6, 7, 8. How many's ever heard you reap what you sow? Your mama didn't make that up. My mama used to always tell me this. Every time I'd go out, she'd say, "Son, you remember," and I'd stop, and while she said it, I would mouth it, "If you dance, you got to pay the fiddler." If I heard that one time, I heard it 1,000 times. "If you dance, you got to pay the fiddler." And I'd tell Mama sometimes, "Mama, I got the fiddle in my back pocket." Amen. So here it is, though. "Be not led astray. God is not mocked. For what a man may sow, that he may also shall reap. Because he who is sowing to his own flesh, of the flesh shall reap corruption. But he who is sowing to the Spirit, of the Spirit shall reap life, age, duration," or "during." Now watch this. Watch. The ministry. Let me tell you something about the ministry. Everybody in here is in the ministry. Did you know that? Every person in this place is in the ministry. Every person in this place is important. How many know that? How many know every person in this place, God has something special for you to do? Because he has something special for you, I want you to notice. Ministry is not just doing what feels good. Get ready. Ministry is not just doing what feels good, because if all you do for God is what feels good, then you're satisfying the flesh. Whoop. If all you do for God is just what feels good, then you're not satisfying the flesh. Sometimes it don't feel good to climb down in a ditch with the drug addict and pull him out and clean him up and help him. You see, that's why the Samaritan come along. Everybody else was trying to do what felt good, and here goes the guy that's been taken by robbers, and he's down and out. Nobody's there to help him. But the Samaritan comes along, and he knows that it's not just what feels good, but we are to do what is right. When you're ministering for God, when you do what is right, now you're satisfying God. Do you know that I'm going to throw it out there. We would be turning people down for every job in the church if people would do what is right. Y'all just shouted me down. Look at there. Every church in this land would be full of so many workers, but if they did what is right. But that's not how it works, is it? So now, mercy. Watch this now. There's a downward flow of mercy. I'm still trying to describe mercy. I'm getting ready to get ready to this next slide. Downward flow of mercy. Mercy is offered. Do you know that mercy flows from heaven? How many knows that? Do you know the Bible tells us that before the very foundation of the world, Jesus said, I will be slain. Said he was slain before the very foundation of the world, meaning that he already, in the eyes of God, was good as dead on that cross. Way before the world was ever conceived. Wow. Wow. Before the earth ever began to operate in God's eyes, in God's economy, Jesus was good as dead. So now, in heaven they had the meeting. There was a problem, but they already knew about it. It flows from heaven to the garden. In the garden there's a promise. You're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to bruise your head. Then in Bethlehem, the promise now is the proof. Bethlehem, God with us. After Bethlehem is the cross. That's the power. So now, mercy describes one of God's attributes. Here it goes. Ephesians 2 and 4 says, he is rich, superabundant, above and beyond in mercy. So now, I want you to watch this now. This is so awesome. I want you to think about this. Not simply, mercy is not just simply the withdrawing of punishment, which that's grace and mercy. Grace, you're given life. Mercy is not sending you to hell, but it's not just keeping back or holding back, but there's another part of that mercy. And this is the part of mercy. See, a lot of us, we withhold hurting somebody because we think, well, we're giving them mercy. We're not going to hurt them. You know, I'm a show them mercy, and I'm just going to back off. But it goes a little further than that. For you see, mercy is the act of giving help or having compassion on someone who is afflicted. Someone who is afflicted. Someone who needs God to lift him up when, in your eyes, you would rather just say, go ahead and drown, bro. That's mercy. God gave mercy to us when we were not fit. God gave mercy to me. God followed me in every bar. God followed me down every trail. God followed me down every woods path. God followed me to every party. God followed me to every place I went. His mercy followed me. And many times, I can look back now, and many times when I should have been killed, when I should have died, when I should have had something terrible happen to me, I can see now, I can look backwards, and I can see God's mercy holding it back. Because God was saying, I see it, and I hear it when I pray. God said, I got something bigger in store for you, and I can't let you die right now. I got something bigger in store for you, so I can't let the circumstances of life get to you, but instead I'm going to withhold. The mercy is going to hold it back. You can look back in your life and think about the times where God was actually holding back the stuff that actually you really deserved. He's holding it back. And he's saying, no, I got a bigger plan for them. And that plan cannot be fulfilled if I let go. So God holds it. Wow. So here's mercy. Here it is. There's the downward flow of mercy. It comes from heaven. You can show mercy to people, but if you want to show this kind of mercy, it's going to require the power of the cross in your life. So now, there was the downward flow of mercy, mercy offered. Then there's the inward flow of mercy, mercy received. When you said yes to Jesus Christ, I thank you for this. Psalm 4:11 says, withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Thy loving kindness and thy truth will continually preserve me. Lamentations 3:22-23 says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. In other words, it's only because of his mercies he don't go, right, you're getting ready to get in a car wreck and it's going to take you out of here. And God goes, no. To this day, I still remember when I had that head-on collision down the trip road. And I asked the state patrolman, I asked the guys on the rescue squad, I asked the deputies, I asked my wife, I asked everybody, I even asked the doctor when I got there. I said, what was that brilliant flash of light that I saw before the car ever hit me? I'm riding down the road, I look up, and I see something I don't quite understand. My brain can't compute all this because it's happening so fast. I see a car in my lane, it's coming right for me. And I see this most brilliant flash of light, not after I'm hit, before I'm hit. While the car's still coming, I see the brilliant flash of light. And then, bam, I got hit like I've never been hit before. And spun around 190 foot. Daniel said, because I had 300,000 miles on that Camry, Daniel said, when that car finally stopped, it went, whew. The guy said, I believe your car is totaled. My Camry went, thank you, Lord. And I kept asking, what was that light? What was that light? I just can't remember. What was that light? I saw this flash of light. Somebody tried to tell me it was in my airbag. I saw a brilliant flash of light because of my airbag. No, it was before I was hit. It's why I'm still riding down the road, still trying to figure out what's coming my way, and here's that brilliant flash of light. I know when I got in the hospital, I'm asking the doctor, I'm asking everybody, and then it hit me. God sent his angel. The man said if it had come in another inch, it would have took you out of here. So when it came to, that flash I saw was that angel sitting there showing God's mercy, holding back what could have been death. Think in your own life. Think about the times that the angel of mercy came. I thank God that his mercies are not, the mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Listen, you're not even getting used mercy. You're not even getting leftover mercy. You're getting new mercy every day. Wow. The older I get, the better I was. And sometimes it's hard to keep doing something new every day. But God says, every day of your life, my mercies will be new. You're not living on has-beens. You're not living on rejects. You're not living on the crumbs. Every day of your life, God's mercy is fresh. That's awesome. Somebody say that's awesome. Psalm 145, 8, 9 says, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great of mercy. I know he's slow to anger. Because sometimes when mama and daddy had lost it with me, God was still sitting there going, I got you. Oh, y'all know, I've never pushed anybody's buttons, ever. Yeah, I remember when I'm sitting on the couch, minding my own business, and then comes Daniel. He run in the door, and he slammed the door, and he's going, I can tell it now, Daniel, the statute of limitations are over. And Daniel's going, I said, what is wrong with you? He said, I've been here all night. I said, you just run in the door, son. He said, Daddy, I've been here all night. And I looked out the window. I said, where's the car, the motorcycle, whatever he was driving? He said, it's around back. I peep around back and see smoke. He said, I've been here all night. They're looking for me. I said, who's looking for you? I said, ain't nobody looking for you. So I went out there and like I was going to pick my trash can up or something. So I walked out there trying to be nonchalant, and there was deputies with flashlights. Riding down the road, I come back, and Daniel said, see? And about 6 months later, he said, I think I want to be a deputy. I thought, that's probably the best thing could happen to you, son. Get on the other side. Everybody's got those moments where you go, close the door, watch out, look what I've done. And God's mercies are holding you. Oh, that's so awesome. So now, The Lord's grace is full of mercy, slow to anger, great mercy. The Lord is good to all, the just and the unjust alike. Did you know that? It rains on the just and the unjust alike. His mercy is even good to the people that don't love him, don't know him. His tender mercies are over all his works. So now, watch this. There's the downward flow of mercy, mercy offered. There's the inward flow of mercy, mercy received. Then there's the outward flow of mercy, mercy extended. I'm just going to break it down. There's four ways. There's plenty more ways, but I thought I could at least pick out four ways that you say, well, how can I show mercy? Tell me how to show mercy. I'm going to show you just four ways. There's a whole bunch of ways. I'm just going to show you four of them. I want you to watch this now. One of the best ways to show mercy in your life, to reflect the beauty of the cross. Remember, you're reflecting the beauty of the cross. One of the best ways to do this is, remember, number one, merciful people help hurting people. Did you know that? Merciful people help hurting people. And it's like this. Sometimes you wonder, God, why'd you allow this in my life? Not realizing that God, when he allowed it in your life, somebody came along that had been through something similar, that they got a chance to help you. And then now that you see somebody else going through this, you're able to help them. And if nothing else, you can tell them, yes, it happened to me and I'm still standing. By God's mercies, I'm still standing. I mean, I didn't know the right answer. I knew exactly what to do, but I can tell you this. God came in, God took care of business. Even when I'm standing at the door saying, I've been here all night, God still took care of me. Still standing. Matthew 25 and 40. Verily I say unto you, in so much as you have done it to the least, one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. You see, when you allow your hands to get dirty, working for God, dirty hands, I'm talking about getting down and getting with it, showing mercy. Mercy, a lot of people don't want to show mercy because it causes you to have to get down and get kind of dirty. You know, to help somebody you might not necessarily want to help, to do something you might not necessarily want to do. But remember, true ministry is not just doing what feels good, that's satisfying the flesh. True ministry is doing what is right. Remember, we hunger and thirst after righteousness. So now, when your hands are dirty, your conscience is clean. Let me do that again. When your hands are dirty, I'm not talking about dirty like a politician dirty. I'm talking about dirty as in you've been out helping people. When your hands are dirty from helping people, when you're out showing God's mercy, when your hands get dirty, your conscience gets clean. Because you're doing what you're called to do. There's people out there suffering divorce. There's people out there that are suffering deaths in their families. There's people out there suffering abuse. There's people out there that are shut-ins that need your help. There's people out there in prison that need you to go talk to them. I walked in one night into the prison, and as I'm sitting in there, I see a guy standing up there, and he's got all these guys around him. And I'm talking with him, and this man is throwing down. And he knows his Bible, and he's doing such a good thing, too, working his Bible. And so I asked him, I said, how do you know so much about your Bible? And he said, well, I'm a pastor. And I said, I hate to ask this, but why are you in here? He said, car violation. I thought maybe he'd stole one. He said, no, something. He told me the legalities. He didn't pay a certain fine and then whatever, and it traced him down, and there he was. And he said, I feel so bad that I'm a pastor, and I'm locked down. And I told him, I said, buddy, don't feel bad. I said, I watch these guys. They're watching you. You're ministering to them. And I told him, I said, matter of fact, you've probably done the most ministering you've done in your whole life since you've been in here. He had about a week. He had like 30 days or something. He said, and he'd been there like, I don't know, a couple of weeks. I said, you've done probably more in the last 2 weeks than you've done in the last 2 years. He said, I didn't think about it that way. I said, if God's got your back and God knows what's going on, don't be afraid. Just let it flow. Amen? So watch. Merciful people help hurting people. Number two. Here's the hard one. Merciful people are patient with those who struggle. How many here are patient people? I mean, my prayer was, Lord, I want patience and I want it now. Merciful people learn. It's something you learn. You are patient with those who struggle. Galatians 6, 1 and 2 says, brother, if someone's caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. That word gently means you don't just get up and pick him up and throw him out and say, take care of it. Fix it. If they could fix it, they wouldn't be struggling. You're patient with them. You're there to guide them, to help them, to be there. But watch yourself, or you should also be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. You will reflect the beauty of the cross. Wow. Number three. You think number two was hard. Here comes number three. It's even harder. Merciful people are even kind to their enemies. Didn't say you had to let them run over you. Didn't say you had to let them keep beating you. But you're kind to them. Let me get to the why you want to do all this stuff in just a minute. Matthew 5, 46 says, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? If you give to those that can give back, what reward you got? Something special going on here with this mercy. Mercy. Y'all say mercy. Now I'm about to say, y'all ain't looking too like you. I just want y'all to say, and look, I want you to do this when you do it. Happy, happy, happy. Come on, one more time. Happy, happy, happy. All right, y'all, because y'all ain't looking happy, happy, happy. Y'all looking like, will he please be quiet? So I can go to McDonald's and beat the Baptist to the checkout line. Amen. Number four. Merciful people are forgiving people. Again, this does not mean that you have to lay down and be a doormat. It does not mean that you lay back and let people beat you up. It does not mean that you don't defend yourself. None of that. This is talking about you're forgiving. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have with each other. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. It releases you. When you show mercy, it releases you. First, it releases power through you because now you're reflecting the cross, the beauty of the cross. So mercy, God's power flows through you. And the cool thing is, here's what it says. Once it flows through you, it's like a wave. It comes back to you. Wow. Some things you throw out, you never see again. But when you throw out mercy, it comes back. The harder you throw it, the harder it comes back. The more you throw, the more it comes back. How many in here say, I don't need mercy? Huh. Yes, right. We all need it. We all need mercy. Yes. So watch. The harder... Or the harder I push it or the harder I show it, God's power goes through me, then it comes back to me. That's the second level. That's the level you want to live on. Right? So now, watch. God is the God of mercy, and he will apply his mercy on all those who are merciful. Proverbs 16 and 7 says, when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies live at peace with him. Wow. That's awesome. That's an awesome thought. They didn't say they're all going to come down and shake your hand and try to help you and everything, but it says they're going to live at peace, meaning they're not going to be attacking you. Proverbs 11:17, the merciful man doth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. Again, remember, mercy flows through you, it hits the target, and it bounces back. Wow. Why would I rather withhold mercy and throw something else and not get anything back or get some bad stuff back when I can let mercy flow through me, hit them, come back to me, and we both come out ahead? Wow. That's awesome. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. Now here, let me show you this. I'm getting ready to close. The benefits of mercy. Listen carefully. Why should I be merciful? Number one, it purges feelings. It helps defeat the flesh. if I can learn to live by mercy, if I can learn to live and understand that everybody needs mercy, everybody, if I can understand that, wow. Mercy, again, remember, it flows through me, it hits them and comes back, it purges my feelings, it helps me defeat my flesh when I'd rather be taking them up by the nape of the neck and giving them a once-over. I'm showing them mercy. Now, I'm living a life of freedom. It's purged my feelings. Secondly, to live by the flesh builds walls. To live a life with mercy showing through you builds bridges. There's people in your life right now. You can think about it. I want you to think about it. There's people right now in your life that honestly need you. You, not them, you, to build a bridge. Either they're scared, or they don't know how, or they don't want to build a bridge. But if you want to please God, I didn't say now that you had to make everything, you had to go to lunch together and go on vacation together and, no. Build a bridge. Open up communication. If you can. If you can't, at least you try. Open up a bridge of communication. Build that bridge, because once you do that, remember, God's mercy flows through you. When you're building a wall, God's not helping you. When you build a bridge, God's there to help you. Build that bridge. Number three. It pricks your conscience. Not mine, but the person I'm helping. If I show somebody mercy, the Bible says do it when you do good to somebody, when they're expecting evil, you heap fires of coal on their head. Heap fires of coal on their head does not mean, a guy told the preacher one time, a preacher told the wife, said, have you thought about trying? Her husband was really nasty to her. Said, have you ever tried the thought of heaping coals on top of his head? She said, no, but a hot frying pan a couple of times. Didn't work. Putting coals on somebody's head, when you hear that, it's talking about you're touching their conscience. You're causing their conscience to be burning. And you go, wait a minute, they're supposed to be hitting me, and they're not. They're supposed to be trying to take me down, and they're not. And all of a sudden now, here's how the bridge is built. As their conscience is seared, or not seared, but as their conscience is burning, then what they do is now they may be willing to step on that bridge and even help build it. So awesome. And then it promotes healing. First, it promotes healing spiritually. Both ways. If I can learn to let God's mercy, the beauty of the cross, flow through me, then I'm going to be the first one to receive the healing. And as I reach to the person, there's an opportunity for healing there. So that means now there's a relational possibility, relational healing. So now there's, God flows through me. When I really want the flesh to take over, when I want to do what feels good, and God says, no, I need you to do what is right. And so you do what is right, then God flows. And when God's flowing, something good takes place. You find yourself being healed, and as you build that bridge, there's relational healing. God wants us. It's amazing how he starts with mercy. There's other things he's going to talk about. But he starts with mercy. God says, I want you to reflect my work on the cross. I want you to redeem the time. My coming's near. How many know his coming's near? God wants us to show him to a world. I can guarantee you in the Middle East right now, there's not an ounce of mercy being shown. Ask ISIS if they're going to show any mercy. I was listening on the way up here, listening to Fox News on the way up here. I was listening to one channel, Praise and Worship. I was flipping to the next channel, to praise and worship, but as I was, Fox came up, so I listened to Fox News for a minute, and they're talking about the helicopter gunships that were fighting over in Iraq this morning, and they're trying to come after the militants, and they're going back and forth, and all the stuff that's going on. And I said, where is the mercy? There is none. You can go to court Monday, and you can watch the court cases, and I can guarantee you 90% of the court cases would have known, or the problems that the court cases caused, have to go to court for, 90% of those problems would have never occurred if we'd have lived, or they'd have lived by mercy. God wants us to reflect Him. Something very, very powerful and hard to do without Him. Amen? I want everybody to stand. Let's see the second. I'll rip her right up. Hit no show. God's working strong. God's awesome. God has something powerful for this church. Something powerful for us. We just got to trust Him. Amen.
Signs of new construction on a mighty span, that in the hearts of all the lost would cast a shadow of a cross, 'cause that babe of Mary's crib would soon be mercy's grave. Was just across the river on heaven's side, but we were much too weak to swim with no boat ride. God made a way that couldn't make a wooden cross, three rusty nails on Calvary's rugged bridge. Mercy built a bridge.
We must cross the Calvary way. It leads from night into the brightest day, where Jesus died that you and I could live. Leave on Him a mercy filled bridge. Cross the Calvary way.
Thank you for that bridge, Lord.
That leads from night into
thank you for the bridge, Lord.
Day, where Jesus died that you and I could live. He loved you, the mercy built a bridge. Jesus is the bridge.
God is the bridge. This morning, let me ask you a question. How many want God to use you? How many want God? As you say, a lot of all this great, I might not be all that great in ministry. I might not be all that great in singing. I might not be all that great in expounding the word, you know what? Everybody in here can show mercy. Every one of us can show mercy. Right now, in the name of Jesus, if you got a need in your life, I invite you to the altar. If you need God to help you learn to show mercy, I invite you to this altar. If you need mercy, I invite you to this altar. If you got any need in your life, I invite you right now to come and let God do His work. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. God, I need mercy. God, I need you to help me show mercy. God, I need you to work in my life. God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Help me, Father, don't just do what feels good. Help me do what is right. Help me, Father, not just do what feels good. Help me do what is right. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord. Father, mercy is more than just withholding punishment. Mercy is showing love and kindness. Mercy is showing when you don't feel like showing it. Mercy is standing up for the person this week when you don't feel like standing up for them. Mercy is doing what you know God wants you to do. Praise the Lamb of God. Praise the Lamb of God. Help me, Lord, reflect the cross. Help me to reflect the cross. Help me to reflect the beauty of the cross. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Father. Praise your name. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name. Glory. Glory to your name. Glory to the Father. Glorify your Son through us, Lord, through our actions, Lord. Father, help us, Lord, to show mercy. Help us, Lord, to find that true happiness. Happy, happy, happy. Mercy. Mercy. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I'm yours, Lord. I'm yours, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory to the Lamb of God. Everybody stand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Somebody say happy, happy, happy. Somebody say happy, happy, happy. Do you want to be happy, happy, happy? You can get happy, happy, happy without watching Duck Dynasty. Happy, happy, happy. You know how you get happy, happy, happy? Let God work through you. Amen. You say, well, I can't sing. Mercy. Amen. Mercy doesn't have to sing. Amen. Well, I can't preach. Mercy ain't got to preach. Because you know what? Mercy preaches every time God uses you in it. God sings a melody to somebody's heart every time you exhibit mercy. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Come back tonight. We're going to have the... It's the fifth Sunday, youth. We're going to have a good time. I'm expecting about 500 people. I can guarantee you we're going to get somewhere around something close to something and 500. Fixing, you know, we're going to be somewhere between 1 and 500 somewhere. That's right. So when they all come in, y'all might need to slide over so they can get on in here. Amen. You know, yesterday, Sierra was playing softball. They were playing for the state champion. Not state champion, just next week. They were playing for the regional championship in softball. And DC looked up and he told me, Dad, he was the guy that was supposed to be there to be the third vote in anything. So he couldn't move. He was stuck by the pole. And he said, Dad, they've struck out 7 times in a row. And said one of them was Sierra. And I said, that happens. And then Sierra gets to go up to bat, and DC says, come here, Sierra. And she says, Paw, he's up to my nerves. He said, I can't bat with him telling me all this. He says, he's got my nerves all shook up. I looked over to DC, I said, DC, can I handle this? He said, sure, Dad, you can handle it. I walked over to Sierra, and I put my arm around her. I said, first, I want you to know that you look so beautiful in that uniform you got on. And anybody told you that lately? You look so beautiful. And I said, are you having fun? She says, I was till I got the bat. And I said, well, guess what? When you get the bat, we're going to have some more fun. She says, how? I said, when you get the bat, what do you expect to do? She said, strike out. And I said, how would you like to hit the ball? She said, that'd make me and Daddy and a whole bunch of people happy. And I said, then don't go up there expecting to strike out. Go out there and say, Lord, with your help, I'm going to get me a run. And she said, that's good, Papa. I said, yeah, it's good, ain't it? And I said, I want you to smile, and I want you to have fun. Even if you strike, whatever happens, no matter if you don't get a hit, whatever, you just have fun. Because you're out here. You got a privilege to be out here. I said, but just in your mind, you go and start thanking God for that hit. She said, okay, Papa. And she got up, and the guy called bunt. And when she bunted it right down the line so perfect that she was on first base before the girl even got a chance to pick up the ball. And I looked over at DC and I went. And I turned my back, because the other girl was at the back. I turned my back to look for Emmy. And I heard DC say, get it! And I looked, and here was Sierra crossing over home plate. She had made a run. I looked over at DC and I said, DC, son, I said it without being religious. Here's the religious thing. She don't need judgment. She needs mercy. I want you to look back in your life. There's some people that you can talk to today or in this next week or so. They don't need judgment. They need mercy. They've been striking out a lot. You want to see them start hitting? Remember, they don't need judgment. They need mercy. Amen. Tonight, come on back, and we're going to have a good time. We're going to have a good time with the Lord. Looking forward to some good things. And we got a bunch of people. We have a bunch of people that's actually in pain this morning. We're going to trust God to touch them too. Give them mercy. Amen. Y'all looking good. Anybody tell you that? Bro Wayne, we just missed some prayer, please.